So with that, let's turn to the book of Galatians, which is in the New Testament, for our scripture reading today. I am going to go to Galatians chapter 3, and I am going to read verses 19 through 29. Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse number 19. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Starting at verse 19 of Galatians chapter 3. Why then was the law given at all? It was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. The law was given through angels and entrusted to a mediator. A mediator, however, implies more than one party, but God is one. Is the law, therefore, opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But Scripture has locked up everything under the control of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So, the law was our guardian until Christ came that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Let's pray. Father, this morning we want to learn a little more about law and how it applies to us today. And we're going to use this scripture here before us, Lord, to help lead us in that direction. So, Father, just give us the truths that we need to learn here today about law, how it applied to this church there at the in Galatia, and, Father, how it's going to apply to us here today. We trust that you will transform us in some way to make us more Christ-like for what we read here today. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. I have titled this morning's message, Our Schoolmaster. And you could probably see a nice little picture there in your bulletin of a child in a school and a schoolmaster standing there. Thought that picture was rather appropriate. And this is our 32nd week as we go through the New Testament. Throughout life, there are going to be moments that will never be forgotten, as if they are written in indelible ink in the corners of our minds. And we can recall these memories in great detail as if they just happened just a few minutes ago. Perhaps it was the birth of your first child. Maybe it was the day that you got married. Or it might be the day that you won that award as a child in school as you were growing up. And there's thousands of different scenarios that can be recalled instantly as we remember the impact that that particular moment made in our life at that particular time. And I would certainly hope that as we read the Word of God, that we have such moments when the text that we are reading, whatever that may be, has a major impact on our life, and it becomes one of those life-transforming moments. Or as some people say, it's one of those aha moments where we read something and it's just like this big light bulb has just gone off. And it's a time and a moment that we'll never forget. And more than likely, there will be these different verses, these different scripture verses that makes different impacts in each and every one of us in some way. Well, one such biblical moment, one of those aha moments for me was when I read Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. I probably read that verse 100 times, and it really never had any life-changing reaction from it. But one time, I read that one verse, and it made all the difference in the world. So what happened? And why did I have this epiphany that day when I read it? And that's what I want to share with you here this morning, and hopefully we'll all learn something about that one verse today. Well, one simple reason that we have these aha moments as we read Scripture is that the Word of God, according to Hebrews 4:12, says that it's alive and it's active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Because that's what Scripture is, that's what it does. And because of this, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal what He wants and when He wants to whomever He wants. And I'm sure that that's what the case was for me on that day. But I want to add another just little variable to this equation this morning of why that one verse was a aha moment for me. And for me, it was a matter of, ready for this? It was a matter of Bible translation. Matter of Bible translation. If you go to BibleGateway.com, a great site, I go there all the time. I think they have about 53 different Bible translations that you can look up. But when a Bible is in the process of being translated, I'm certain the translators always have the best interest in mind of coming up with the best translation that they can from the Hebrew or the Aramaic or the Greek from the original language. So what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to present to you Galatians 3:24 in two different translations and then share with you the correct interpretation of that verse and how it helped me transform my life in one of those indelible aha moments. I have been using the NIV translation Bible ever since I was saved back in 1994. I had an NIV in my hand the day that I was saved. Shortly after that, Gail bought me my first real Bible, and it was an NIV study Bible, and I still have that today, and I just recently quit using it in favor of this new NIV because it's large print. We know how that goes as we get a little bit older. For me, the NIV was an easy translation to read, and it was the translation that I kind of cut my spiritual teeth on. So it's not that I'm really in favor of it, it's just that one that just so happened to fall into my life at the right time. So what does Galatians 3:24 say in this NIV Bible that I have? And it says this, and this is the NIV that I just read to you. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. And that was Galatians 3:24 out of this NIV Bible that I have right here. Let's stop right here because there's a little history that I want you to understand and a little background about the churches in Galatia and the main purpose of this letter, because it helps us identify why Paul is writing what he is writing. The main stumbling block that the churches in Galatia had was that they were listening to false teachers, which was a no-no, and these false teachers were presenting a false gospel, a different gospel, as Paul says in chapter 1. And that false gospel was this. The false gospel said, you had to have faith in Christ. Yes, they didn't deny that. But you also had to have obedience to the law. You had to still observe the Mosaic law. You had to have faith in Christ to be saved? Yes. But you also had to keep the law. You had to do both. And that's why Paul says in Galatians 3:3, he says that they have been bewitched. I like that word, bewitched. And you were fools, he's telling these people, because they began in the spirit, but they were trying to be perfected by keeping and observing the law. And Paul is saying, you can't do that. So to the Galatians, the law was extremely important to them, and they felt like it was extremely necessary that they keep the law, which was not the case and is still not the case today. That's a little background, and that leads us back to Galatians 3:24, where Paul must give an explanation as to the purpose of the law in regards to the salvation of an individual. So let's break this verse down here a little bit, and let's see exactly what it says. There's a few key words in this verse from, again, the NIV translation. I understand law. So the law. I understand what law is. Law is rules and regulations that God makes up, that he comes up with, the do's and the don'ts. So I understand law. And I understand this next word, guardian. When I think of a guardian, I think of someone who watches over another person. And I give the definition of guardian there in your bulletin. So I understand law. I understand guardian. And I understand that Christ came. He showed up here on this earth 2,000 years ago. He came to this earth. So until Christ came, I understand that. And I certainly understand being justified by faith. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. We are saved by grace through faith. So I understand all those things. I do. And I could somewhat understand what this verse was saying. The rules made by God, the law, watched over me like a guardian until Christ came, and we know that, and allowed me to be justified by faith. Well, that all sounded good. But I could really never connect the dots with what that verse meant, anything more than what it said, except that it was good news. It was never one of those aha moments for me. But then one day, I read Galatians in this particular verse from a different Bible translation. And I read it from the King James Version. The King James Version. It's very unlikely you'll ever see me with a King James Version Bible in my hands, but one day I had the King James Version Bible in my hands. But what a difference that made on that day. So let's look at this and allow me to give, again, the interpretation. So let's keep the NIV up there and let's see what the King James Version says. And let's look at the differences and see where I could learn a thing or two. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Same verse, only from the King James. Now, you might look at that and say, well, Mike, I kind of really can't see too much of a difference. Well, for me, there was a major difference. The two differences that I found in the verse are this. First, I got some words underlined, same verses, I just got two words underlined. The first was the word guardian, which the NIV used, and the second was the word schoolmaster that the King James Version used. As a matter of fact, some of your Bibles might even use the word tutor, okay? But these were the two words that I was confronted with. First, the difference in these words. Webster defines guardian as one who has the care of a person or property of another. That is Webster's definition. And that's kind of the way I thought of guardian, someone who kind of looks after another person. But a schoolmaster, on the other hand, is one, according to Webster's definition, as one who disciplines or directs. Discipline. Direction. Something that was strict, something that was authoritative. To me, one was kind and gentle, the guardian, and the other, a schoolmaster, was disciplinary, authoritative, but still giving some direction. Now, when I read it with this in mind, with schoolmaster in mind, I couldn't help to think in my mind about what a schoolmaster would be. So now I have this imagery in my mind. It took me back to my Catholic school days when the nuns were very disciplinary. They were very authoritative, but yet they always did give sound direction. And sometimes it could have been in a very mean sort of way. But when I think of schoolmaster, this is what comes to mind. Nuns who were very disciplinary, very authoritative, someone who wanted to very genuinely direct me, and sometimes it could have been a little painful, but that was okay. So looking at this verse in the two different translations, I personally could better define the word schoolmaster than what I could guardian. And I always wondered why they used the word guardian in there. In this verse in the King James, I'm just going to go back there. This word in the King James tells me that the law, which are rules given by God, was a schoolmaster. A schoolmaster, something that the law was going to be something that was disciplining me, something that was going to be directing me. So let's see how the law disciplines and directs. And we have three fill-in-the-blanks in our bulletin here this morning. So let's fill these in. Number one, the law is discipline in the fact that it lets us know that we fail in our obedience to the laws of God. It lets us know that we fail in obedience to the laws of God. There is a standard that is set by God. And unfortunately, our human condition makes sure that we come up short and we fail to keep those standards that God sets. Again, it gets back to Romans 7, where Paul says, "What a wretched man that I am." So the law is discipline. It lets us know that we fail. It's our conscience doing this to us. The question then becomes this. The question then becomes, has our conscience convicted us of our wrongdoing? And if so, what are we willing to do about that conviction? Do we totally ignore that conviction? Or do we somehow want to make that conviction right? Because unfortunately, we're never going to cease to sin. So when our conscience is convicting us, what do we want to do? Do we want to just ignore it, let it go, and just keep on sinning? Or do we want to make it right? So now the law, which is our schoolmaster, has done its job in the area of discipline. We have been convicted. Now the question becomes, how do we respond? And that's where, in my opinion, the King James Version does a much better job of translation than the NIV does. So let's look at our next fill in the blank, and we're going to keep the King James Version up there. The next fill in the blank would say this: the law is directional in that it brings us to Christ as the only solution to our disobedience. Because it brings us to Christ as our only solution to our disobedience. If we have been convicted of sin and we want to do the right thing, Galatians 3:24 says this, that it will bring us to Christ if we want to do the right thing upon that conviction. Which leads us to our third and final fill in the blank, and I'm just going to get through this real quick right here. In the Old Testament, the purpose of the law was to bring about conviction of one's sin. And it's the same today. The law is still going to be our schoolmaster. So, in the Old Testament law, let's talk about that first, and then we'll get to us. In the Old Testament law, the Jewish person, the Jew, was given a way that they could atone for their sins, how to be forgiven for their sins. In the law, they had a sacrificial system, and it was made up of, as we know, animal sacrifices. So, if the Jew, by faith, sacrifice the required animals at the prescribed time, their sins would be forgiven. The law convicted them of their sin. The law gave them a way to be forgiven of their sin. So all they had to do was have faith in what the law presented to them. But we got to remember this. The Old Testament Jew did not have Jesus Christ, did they? But they did have a system that was set up by God that they could atone for to make right their sin problem. Because, as it's always been, the righteous will live by faith. So they were saved by faith back in the Old Testament, then, because they had faith in what the law prescribed, and people today are still being saved by faith. But what's our faith in? Old Testament animal sacrifices? That's not part of what we go by today. That faith is in the one and only solution, a Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. His name is Jesus. So we still have faith, and we still have a solution, but instead of animal sacrifices, our faith is in Jesus Christ. But I need to ask this. If our consciences have convicted us of something that we're doing wrong and we identify that we are sinning, does your conviction lead you to Jesus Christ? Because the world will try to convince you that there are many solutions to a sin problem. The world will try to convince us that we can fix our problem on our own. The world believes that good works will make our sin problem right. The world believes that even attending church will make our sin problem right. The world believes that giving to a charity will make our sin problem right. The world believes that being a good dad or a good mom or a good husband or a good father will make our sin problem right. And we know that that list can go on and on and on. But that's what the world wants us to believe, right? Satan is incredibly good at deception. But we have a schoolmaster. And Paul tells us in the book of Galatians that we have the law. And we need to praise the Lord that we have law, that we have the do's and we have the don'ts. Because the law is there to convict us of our shortcomings, and our shortcomings will then direct us to Christ. And once we have been directed to Christ, verse 25 tells us that we are no longer under that schoolmaster. The schoolmaster has accomplished its purpose. And its purpose is to convict us of our sins. And the schoolmaster is trying to direct us in the one and only solution that we have for this problem that we all have. And it's called a sin problem. And we need to remember this. Jesus Christ is not one of many solutions. Amen? He is the only solution. And now faith has come, the Bible tells us. And now we are no longer under law. We are now under Christ. So I ask very simply, has your schoolmaster, the law, disciplined you and directed you to Christ, who is the only solution today? I certainly hope and pray that he has. Let's pray.